Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Odyssey, Rockfin, or Band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your amazing support. Hey, speaking of that, I figure you should know that Iconic is making itself available for a 10-day free trial. There's a link in the description of this video. You can click that and check out what they've got going on over there. They've been nice enough to give this show a home since our beginning, which was about the same time Iconic got off the ground. So they've been going for a little over 2 years now. It's amazing. It's the Netflix of the alternative media. They have so much stuff going over there. They're making their own movies. They're making their own documentary series. They've got daily shows. They've got David Icke's entire catalog of everything that he's done. It's amazing. There's a lot going on over there. I think you should just go over and check it out. Might as well. You got a 10-day free trial. So click the link and see if it's right for you. Hey, thanks to our amazing sponsors. My Patriot Supply has been helping people get ready for this coming shit show for a long, long time, and they've been nice enough to make a web page devoted just to us. It's called preparewithmacroaggressions.com, and if you go there, you can get a discount on 4 week supply of foods, on 3 month supply of foods. They have all kinds of different products there for you. They've got water filtration, air purification. They have seeds. They have emergency coffee, whatever that means. I figured coffee was always emergency coffee, but apparently they've got the kind that'll last you for 25 years. So if you are a slow coffee drinker, or you just want to have a bit of pleasure as you gently slide into the apocalypse, then my guess is that maybe you should go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com, see if it's right for you, check it out, and save yourself some money. Also, thanks to True Hemp Science They're making the best hemp-based CBD out there, I'm telling you. I've got shoulder issues that are going away because of their product, so I couldn't be happier. If you are so inclined, you can go to their website, truehempscience.com/macroaggressions, and check out the landing page that they built for us. They're going to give you a bunch of free stuff too on your way out. If you spend $65 or more, they'll give you a bottle of their number 81 distillate, which is like a $26 value. They'll put stickers and cool stuff in there for you. They like to throw extra little goodies in there. So if you are in the market for CBDs and you're not really sure which ones to use, because they all kind of sound the same, do this. Go to the website, truehempscience.com/macroaggressions, and just read up and see if you think that their brand is doing it right. They're a small business. They're based in Austin, Texas. We like them a lot. They've sent me amazing products that have helped my shoulder. And you know what? That's about all I can ask for, I guess, is it works for me. I can't say it'll work for you. I don't know you, but I think it you got a good chance. So thank you to our sponsors. They make the show happen for free, and we certainly do appreciate that. You can check out their I put all the links to all the sponsors in the show notes as well for every episode. So if you're driving around or doing something and you forget, you know you wanted to click on something, it's there for you. Well, I'll tell you, it's a bit of a mystery. You know, if you want to ask people, you want to go around and ask people, hey, who's running the show? Who's in charge of this planet? There's been a lot of talk about the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab and these guys and Bill Gates and is this the group that's in charge? But of course there's involvement. Absolutely no doubt that the World Economic Forum is a key component of what's going on currently in this world. That's undeniable. It's a measurable observation. They talk about it. But it's not just them. And it would be real easy to just put a big fat target on Davos and say that they're the only ones involved in this. I would love that. It would make it a whole lot easier to know who the enemies are and where they are and how to turn this whole situation around. But it's not that simple. Now, I would say that would be a good place to start, of course. You know, if you were looking to put mouse traps anywhere, you'd put them around the World Economic Forum, because that's where you'll catch the rats for sure. But it's not limited to that group of people, that geographic location in Europe, or anything having to do with that. We've talked extensively on this show. I've written a couple books about it, The Octopus of Global Control. Definitely got into the New World Order. Just had Sean Stone on, who wrote a book talking about the New World Order and its ties into British aristocracy and things like that. And, you know, it's really important to examine what Sean was talking about, those ties to the British Royal Society and how they set about to colonize the world in a different way, in more of a covert way. And this New World Order group that I know it's tempting to just roll your eyes and go, get out of here with that conspiracy talk, you crazy people, you unserious people talking about your New World Order and everything. Look, if it's the first time you're hearing about it, of course you're going to roll your eyes. And of course you're going to think that it's just us tinfoil hat wearing people that have come up with this catchy little term called the New World Order, and that it's just our simple way of explaining away why the world is so broken. Well, it's not our name for the group. We're not the ones talking about the New World Order. We're not the ones giving the speeches and talking about how we have a real chance with this New World Order to right the wrongs and protect the weak and all this stuff. I'm not saying that stuff. George H.W. Bush was saying that stuff. in front of cameras and microphones and all that stuff. It's not some conspiracy theory. It's out in the open. It's only hidden to the extent that people choose not to look for it. But it's not hidden in at all. George H.W. Bush referred to the New World Order over 200 times during his 4 years in office. It's no secret, okay? This is a group. It's what they call themselves. They call themselves a couple of things. The New World Order is one of them. We've heard them referred to as the invisible government, and that is probably a fitting description. They act as a government. You know, it's the early stages of a world government because they're not geographically located in any one country or even one continent. It truly is a world event. They also call themselves something else. They call themselves the Olympians. Did you know that? Because their arrogance knows no bounds, you know. We're the Olympians, you know, from Mount Olympus. Not Olympians that are like drunk Canadian curlers that are out there, you know, pushing the little ice block. No offense, I mean, to if you're drunk and you're curling, I mean, I would think you'd have to be drunk to be into curling. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Mount Olympus. They call themselves the Olympians. And the New World Order has a more official name. And it's a group in an organization that doesn't get a whole lot of play. I've mentioned it a couple times before. I've mentioned it in passing, and I've always wanted to do sort of a little bit more of a deeper exploration of it. But I'm not being over the top when I say that this might be the most dangerous group in the world, and that is the Committee of 300. This is very much a real organization. They are 150 years in already. They are run by the Queen of England, and they're very dangerous. And we're going to get into this a bit because you can't understand what's going on in this world unless you understand kind of how it's structured. Now, we know about the pyramids, and you wonder who's at the top of the pyramid. Well, I think that at the very top of the pyramid are a more select group from the Committee of 300. We've heard the Council of 13 and those families, those bloodline families. That now this is where it gets a little weird. Those bloodline families that may or may not have extraterrestrial origins, elongated skulls, things like that. I know that gets you into speculation land, and that's fine. I don't have a problem talking about speculation land either. But it's less something I can, like, you know, draw down into all the details of that. When we're talking about possible non-human interference, bloodline, thousands of years of bloodline, you know, rule and things like that, you know, it gets a little bit out of my area of expertise. But I'm not afraid to talk about it. And we're not gonna really dwell on that. I'll bring someone else in who can talk about the about that. But if we go one step down from the bloodline families, you'll drop down to the Committee of 300. And the Committee of 300 evolved out of the British East India Company. They had what was known as the Council of 300. And this was founded by the British royal family almost 300 years ago. I'm talking about like 1727. where the British East India Company was really running the opium trade and making the owners of this company massively wealthy, like wealthy on a scale that's hard to imagine. Although, you know, I think we could probably, you know, you could imagine if you took all of the major drug cartels in the world and kind of combined them together, that might give you an idea of what you're dealing with the British East India Company and what they were doing and the trade routes they had established. They were Amazon before Amazon, you know. They were not just running these spice routes, they were running drugs. They were, you know, and what you come to understand is that all this Nancy Reagan stuff about just say no to drugs and drugs are bad and governments are going to tell you drugs are bad. The people at the top of the pyramid that made the real money all got rich in the drug trade. It's just the way it is. Okay. And nothing's changed. These people, these factors and these forces are still running the global drug trade today. Don't get it twisted. Don't for a second think that Pablo Escobar was running the show. Pablo Escobar worked for George H.W. Bush. Okay. That's just how this stuff works. So the drug component to this is a thread that runs through it all. You know, the Queen of England and the power and all of that stuff. At their core, they're a drug cartel. They're drug family. They're the Sinaloa cartel of, you know, for 300 years. So, John Coleman wrote a book called "Conspirators' Hierarchy," where he tackles the topic of the Committee of 300. I'm going to read this from his book because I think it's important. He lays this out in a way that I think will make sense. The Committee of 300 is the ultimate secret society made up of an untouchable ruling class, which includes the Queen of England, the Queen of the Netherlands, the Queen of Denmark, and the royal families of Europe. These aristocrats decided at the death of Queen Victoria, the matriarch of the Venetian Black Guelphs, that in order to gain worldwide control, it would be necessary for its aristocratic members to, quote, go into business with non-aristocratic but extremely powerful leaders of corporate business on a global scale. And so the doors to ultimate power were opened to what the Queen of England likes to refer to as the commoners. So, this is very much run in Europe. It is originally at its core, it's the ruling families of Europe, North Europe too, and, you know, England and all, you know, Denmark and the Netherlands and Norway and, you know, these families here. And so what we'll do is we're going to list off a great number of them, so that you can have an idea of who we're talking about here. Some of these names you'll recognize. Some of them you may not. I'll go into a little bit of detail as I go through them, just so you have an idea of what we're talking about. Now, you don't have to know 150 years of your history to recognize some of the names on here. And you know, there's lots of lords and kings and in what you would expect. But there's also a new batch of people. So I'm going to go through and read off some of these and just understand that when you talk about a group that is running the world, Bilderberg, World Economic Forum, you know, this group is above all of those groups. This group put those groups together. Okay. So Bilderberg was put together by Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands, and they're on this list. So this group sits above all those other groups, Trilateral Commission, NATO. They created them. Okay. But if you understand who is in the main group, the Committee of 300, it'll help you understand where the power lies and then how the pyramid goes underneath them. So, okay, so who's running it? Who's number one in charge is the Queen of England. The Queen is a very dangerous individual. It's tempting to be like, oh, she's the Queen and she looks like a little old lady. And yeah, I get it. She does. She does the trooping of the colors and it's a big spectacle and she wears a big hat and all that stuff. She will skin you alive if she gets the chance. Okay, this is a dangerous, dangerous individual. Okay, so we'll just start with that. The Queen runs the show. The British royal family is at the top of this list. Dutch royal family, House of Habsburg, House of Orange, that's Netherlands, King Haakon of Norway, Prince Philip, when he was alive. Now he has reincarnated as COVID, apparently, as far as we know. Prince Charles, Prince William, who may or may not be the next Antichrist. Just saying. Lord Halifax, John Jacob Astor, Winston Churchill, Aldous Huxley, Cecil Rhodes, Queen Beatrix, Colonel Mandelhaus, Maurice Strong, that's a dangerous Canadian guy, David Rockefeller, David and Evelyn Rothschild, Avril Harriman, Brown Brothers Harriman, the banking family, Prescott Bush, George H.W. Bush, Henry Kissinger, the Oppenheimers, Lord Carrington, Lord Alfred Milner, J.P. Morgan, the Warburgs, Paul, Max, and Felix Warburg, Al Gore, Paul Volcker, George Shultz, our good friend Ted Turner. I told you he's a disgusting depopulationist, portraying himself as just some cowboy guy. He's a piece of shit of the highest order. Keep your eye on Ted Turner. Bertrand Russell, Warren Buffett, who just sits in his $400,000 house in Omaha drinking Coca-Colas and having Dairy Queen. He's just one of the guys, don't you know, when he's not a member of the Committee of 300. Dr. Alexander King, King Abdullah of Jordan, Roman Abramov, Michael Bloomberg, David Cameron, Tim Geithner, Mikhail Gorbachev, Stephen Harper, Steve Ballmer of Microsoft and the LA Clippers owner, everybody's favorite scumbag, Tony Blair, the Bronfmans of the World Jewish Congress and Seagram's fortune, Mario Draghi, you know him, he's the Italian Prime Minister, I forget exactly what the designation is, who said that the unvaccinated are no longer part of society. He's a member of the Committee of 300. Bill Gates. I know. You're all very surprised. John Kerry, who may or may not be an actual lizard person. Paul Krugman, who may or may not be an actual elf. Ben Bernanke. Lloyd Blankfein, here we get into Wall Street. Zbigniew Brzezinski. Bill Clinton. George Soros. Rupert Murdoch. Colin Powell. Pope Benedict, and last but not least, member of the Committee of 300, Klaus Schwab. So just to make sure there's no confusion as to who these people are and what they're up to. We've got Rockefellers, Rothschilds, Bushes, Clintons, Soros, Brzezinski, I should say,
Bill Gates,
Michael Bloomberg. And we've got some interesting guys on this list too. We've got Aldous Huxley and H.G. Wells. Now, I think that there is a belief that Aldous Huxley, who's writing, you know, Brave New World, and H.G. Wells are just writing, they've snuck off from these globalist maniacs and they're writing these books as a warning to humanity of what may be coming if we don't pay attention. And I actually don't think that that's what they're doing. I don't think that Aldous Huxley or H.G. Wells or some altruistic saint that's firing a warning shot, letting humanity know about this. I think they're in this group for a reason. You don't have two writers that go on to write these dystopian science fiction novels if they're not there for a reason. This is the original predictive programming. Maybe not the original. That might be in some of the holy books. But if you're writing Brave New World, you're writing about the direction that these technocrats want things to go. You're writing the blueprint for them. You're softening up the minds of people in the future to take this, you know, to understand that this is the direction that things are heading, or maybe the direction that things are heading. This is predictive programming. They do it in Hollywood all the time. This is how they do it. They write things that seem so, you know, futuristic and unbelievable, but it's interesting. And so you read about it, maybe they make it into a movie and it's like a cool idea, but it's never going to happen until it happens. And then you look back on it and you go, wow, what a guess. What a guess on their part. And then you go, well, you know, the guy that wrote that book that they guessed and got it right, he's a member with all these other guys in the Committee of 300 talking about how many people get to live on this planet and what the future is going to look like. You don't really think that this guy, first of all, if Aldous Huxley and H.G. Wells snuck away from this group and wrote a book as a warning to humanity that all these powerful sociopaths that they're working with might wind up killing them in the future, don't you think that those guys would make sure that that book never saw the light of day? Or that Aldous Huxley would end up at the bottom of some hill, some cliff? Of course. They wanted these books to get out. They're in the group for a reason. They're the stenographers. They are writing the stories of how they want things to be, putting that out there and then working backwards from it. So these guys aren't out there doing humanity a favor and spilling the beans on this to save us. They're doing it because they're putting us in the position to know where things are coming, where things are headed. And we will make things happen that way because that's how predictive programming works. We're more willing to accept it now. They're doing the hard part of softening us up over the years. So I am of the belief that you don't make it on this list if you're a good guy. I don't see any good guys on this list. I see Henry Kissinger. I see Prince Philip. I see Cecil Rhodes. I see Queen Beatrix, who's running Bilderberg. I see Maurice Strong and David Rockefeller and Rothschilds and central bankers and depopulationists and the fucking Pope. Pope Benedict? I was going to say the bad Pope. I don't think, is there a good Pope? When was the good Pope? That guy that made it 30 days and then they poisoned him? He seems like he might have been on the right track. Of course, you know, they have a way of figuring that out. This is a list. This is a membership list of boogeymen. Bill Gates, John Kerry. You know John Kerry? You remember John Kerry? Who on the day of Trump, the election between Trump and Hillary Clinton, kind of an important day in American politics, wouldn't you say? If you're a high-ranking guy like John Kerry, you probably want to be around. He wasn't around, though. Where was he? He was in Antarctica that day. Do you remember that? Do you remember why? Of course you don't remember why. Nobody knows why. There's no good explanation. He wanted to go down there and check things out, I guess. They could have used the excuse that they gave Patriarch Kirill, the Russian guy, head of like the Russian Orthodox Church. They said he went down to bless the penguins. Okay. Better take your jacket. So when you know that there is a group that is made up of this list of serial killers, you know that there can't be much good coming out of it. And so, but you have to really understand what groups those people control. Because it's one thing to be a member of the Committee of 300, and of course, all those people that I mentioned are. It's a 150-year club. The membership lists change over time as people die and as new people become a little bit more prominent, but it is the merger of the European royal families with the power brokers, so of big business. So I would imagine that as time evolves and as technology becomes a little bit more of a important component of this, my guess is that we'll see some of those names. You know, we're starting to see like Bloombergs and Brzezinski's and Lloyd Blankfein's and Ted Turner's and Mario Draghi's and everything. So we're seeing those guys. Those are like the newer generation. My guess is that you'll probably start to see some tech guys on that list as well. Yeah, there's Ballmer and Gates and everything. And those are sort of the tip of the iceberg. But I would expect Eric Schmidt from formerly of Alphabet to be on that list. I'd probably expect Peter Thiel. Or, you know, some of the guys over in the venture capital world, or, you know, maybe whoever's running Jeremy Farrar of the Wellcome Trust. I would expect guys like that, to, you know, maybe the biochemical component to get on this list eventually. But for now, that's who it is. It's mostly European royalty, some American royalty. A lot of Zionists on this list. A lot of Zionists on this list. Again, that's a political designation, not a religious one. So save the emails. So the groups that the Committee of 300 controls. Well, these are the groups that you would names that you would you know. These are the names of the groups that you think are in control of everyone else, but in actuality, everybody's got a boss, and these guys have a boss, and their boss is the Committee of 300. So the groups that are run by them are the Royal Institute for International Affairs, otherwise known as Chatham House in the UK, the Club of Rome. We've talked about that. That's David Rockefeller, Dr. Alexander King. The United Nations is run by the Committee of 300. And the United Nations started by David Rockefeller as a charity to unite nations. Totally, it wasn't like designed to create a one world government or anything. You conspiracy theorists, except that it was exactly designed to bring together a one world government, but never mind that. NATO. NATO is also was developed by the Committee of 300. The Tavistock Institute, which is a, how would we describe Tavistock? I've always described it as the culture factory. It's a think tank, social engineering firm. They're the ones that made the Beatles popular. They're the ones that made, you know, they can make things cool. They can make things popular. They can convince everybody that this is the summer of love, you know, or this, the, you know, the late 60s or the summer of love. And, you know, they drive that sort of culture manufacturing, the stuff that seems like it's organic, but it really isn't. That comes out of Tavistock. Okay. And of course, they're, like I said, that they are controlled by others. CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, that's more of a media driven institution, and it's a big one too. There's like 5,000 members of the CFR, and not all of them are out there like doing the bidding of empire. A lot of people don't even know, they're just part of that group because it's like a trade organization. And so, you know, I think that with some of these institutions, it's the people at the very top, like of the CFR, like their board of directors would be a very dangerous group, very powerful group of people. But I don't pretend that everybody that's a member of the CFR is necessarily drinking baby blood, but though it's probably offered, I don't know. The Committee of 300 controls the Black nobility. That is the oligarch families of Venice and Genoa, the Italian banking families. So again, Italian / Zionist controlled banking families, been around for a long, long time. But they have a boss too, and it's the committee. Bilderberg Group was put together by members of the committee. Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands, you know, and members of the royal family of those Northern European countries are the ones that have put Bilderberg Group together. And I know people are like, well, that's a conspiracy thing. It's not. It's a meeting. It happens. It happened at the Bilderberg Hotel. It's where it got its name. It happens every year. They do discuss a lot of really nefarious shit that's going on. It's usually a couple years in advance of that. If you are a speaker at Bilderberg, you are in a position where you have to answer questions for that for the rest of your life. As far as I'm concerned, you're never off the hook for that. If you're somebody that's a presenter or a participant of Bilderberg, you are on the wrong side of humanity. Because too much shit has happened because of Bilderberg and through that organization for you to ever get off the hook. So if you partner with Bilderberg, you're on the wrong team. And lastly, the committee also controls the central banks. And this is a big one. We're talking Bank for International Settlements, Bank of England, Federal Reserve, deeply involved in this, which is the reason why you've got a lot of the central bankers on there. You've got the heads of the IMF, the World Bank, you've got the heads of the Federal Reserve, you've got some of the Lloyd Blankfein, former head of Goldman Sachs, Mark Carney, guys like that. You know, people that used were in high positions of power inside the banking industry are obviously going to be part of this, but they are the Bank for International Settlements, the IMF, the World Bank, the Federal Reserve. Those are all underneath the Committee of 300. So that's an important designation to remember, that, you know, everyone, the banks run the world. The banks do run the world, but the banks are owned by somebody or something, some institution, some group. And the people that make up the Committee of 300 are the people that own the banking families that own all of this. And lastly on this list is Associated Press and Reuters, deeply controlled by the committee, which is to say they control the flow of information, which is what you would do. So we're talking about the flow of information through the news agencies, the international news sources, the AP and Reuters and French press, that those are the three institutions where that syndicate news content to the thousands and thousands of outlets underneath them, and then they take the news. So you don't have, again, when it comes back to controlling the news, people are like, well, you can't control every single reporter. No, you're right. And you don't have to. You just have to control sources like Associated Press and Reuters. And who owned Reuters for, you know, 100 plus years? The Rothschilds did. So, I mean, that's how you control the news. You own the news. And that's what these organizations do. So they own the news. They own the banks, the central banks. They run the media dissemination outfits like CFR. They're in charge of the military component of it through NATO. The United Nations is a one world government and depopulation agenda, which they're deeply involved in. The Club of Rome is using global warming and that fake concept for the climate change initiative, which they're running as well. And the Royal Institute for International Affairs, Chatham House, is basically British royalty. So they're in charge of the most powerful groups in the world. And nobody talks about the committee, you know. So what is it? What's their goal? All right. So what are we talking about here? The goal of the 300 is to establish a one world government with one church and one currency, all under their control. That's what they want. So again, it goes back to this United Nations, World Economic Forum. These people are all part of this global push. And what is the global push? It's a one world government. However, when you're talking about a one world government with close to 8 billion people on it, they recognize that it is more difficult to control this one world government when you have that many people. So anytime these institutions, these groups are talking about creating a one world government, there's a component of that that should always be implied because it's always a part of the one world government. It doesn't get talked about that much, but it is always there standing right behind the official narrative, and that is depopulation. That is a component of this that cannot be overlooked because it's essential. You can't control 8 billion people. You can control 2 billion people. You can control 1 billion people. If the Georgia Guidestones are to be believed, they'd prefer to control 500 million people. But Ted Turner's on record saying 2 billion works for him. The rest of these guys have said, you know, we've heard a lot of them talk about 1 billion. 500 million works. Regardless, we're talking about the removal of 3/4 of the population at a minimum. Right. So they would like for us to get from around 8 billion where we are now down to around 2 billion or 1 billion. So that's part of the overall theme. I think it's important to always keep that in mind when you hear things like the United Nations is talking, we're uniting nations together. Yeah, you're uniting nations together into a one world government. And in order to have the one world government, you're going to have to kill a bunch of people. But in the United Nations mentality is we kill them for their own good. Don't you see? They don't want to live on this hellscape planet that we're creating. We're going to kill them for their own good. And it will benefit humanity. Aren't we nice? Don't we deserve an award? That's the way they look at it. All right. So their goal is to destroy nations, national identity, and any national pride. Okay. Again, you can't be a part of the one world government when you're still stuck on your nation state thing, where you're still loyal to the United States of America. That's not going to work for them. They need you loyal to the one world government. So they're going to break the nation states completely. They're going to destroy national identity. They're working on that. That's part of the Euro was a clicking up of 31 cut nations into one big group. They talked about the North America, Amero, where they were going to try and you know, combine Canada and United States and Mexico into one supercontinent, you know, or with NAFTA and all this stuff. This, they've been talking about this stuff for 30 years. It's nothing new, but that's the first step. The first step to creating the one world government is to clicking up in regions like Europe. AFRICOM, you know, this, if you can get, say, you say, well, Africa's got 50 something nations there, getting all of them together is a pain in the ass if we're going to do this one world government. That is correct. So do this, regionally group them together first, get them all kind of clicked up in bigger groups first, and then we'll slowly assemble all those pieces together. And no sense trying to build the one world government in one day. Let's be strategic about this. Let's group them up into bigger chunks, and then we'll go from there. So that's part of what they're doing. So they also want to depopulate large cities, in accordance with the test run that these guys from the Committee of 300 put forward in the 1970s. They had a test run. Do you remember? I'm sure you didn't hear about what their test run was to depopulate large cities, but a guy in the United States named Thomas Anders, a senior State Department official with ties to the Club of Rome, which is at its core a global warming and depopulation outfit. They ran a test in the 70s to see if they could depopulate large parties or large cities, large groups of people. And the person that they wrote this paper and they gave the presentation to, the person that they said, we're going to teach you how to do this, was Pol Pot in Cambodia. And Pol Pot killed a quarter of his population in less than a decade. They had 8 million people. He killed 2 million of them. Do you know how they targeted those people? Anyone that was educated got killed. Anybody that was a teacher or a doctor or, you know, anybody with a brain got their brains bashed in with these sticks, like big knotted sticks, you know, and it would put like a big hole in the back of your head and they would just, bam, brain you with it. And then they didn't know how to tell who was educated anymore. So then they just looked for anybody that was wearing glasses. And they go, you look smart. Come over here. Bam. Dead. That program was not Pol Pot's idea. It was Thomas Anders' idea, a senior State Department official in the United States government who has ties to the Club of Rome, told Pol Pot, this is how you're going to do it. So again, in case there's any sort of confusion as to who these people are and what they want for you, they want you dead. You're taking up too much space on their planet, and they would like for you to hurry up and die. And if you're not willing to do that, they will make accommodations for you to get removed from this planet a lot faster. That's what they're working on right now. And if you don't think that they're involved in the COVID op, then you just don't understand how deep this rabbit hole goes, because they certainly are. Okay, they want, the Committee of 300 wants 3 billion people dead by 2050. Now, I got to give them a little bit of credit here. Maybe credit isn't the right word to use. Everyone else is calling for like 6 billion people to be murdered. They only want 3 billion by 2050. That seems more reasonable to me. Only 3 billion? But here's here's how they say that they're going to achieve it. They're going to achieve it through war and starvation. So you have that to look forward to, which is awesome. According to the Global 2000 report, again, one of these think tank reports that these maniacs put forward, according to the Global 2000 report, which you can go find online, the population of America is to be reduced by 100 million. So it's not quite the Deagle document, where that has a 70% reduction in population. It's not quite the SPARS pandemic document where, you know, a lot of people die from the vaccine. It's somewhere close to it, though. 100 million from 340 million is 30%. You know, that's a lot. That's three out of every 10 people that are in a room are dead by 2050. That's not too much. That's 30 years from now, essentially. So how are they going to accomplish this? Well, they'll tell you. They'll tell you in their writings. They say that they create constant crises, and then manage them. Sound familiar? This will confuse and demoralize the population into apathy. And the organization that they say will be running this is an organization that they have created called FEMA. FEMA is in charge of creating the constant crisis and then managing it. And Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job, you know, like how they did with Katrina. Or the earthquake, or I mean the hurricane in Puerto Rico, or anything that FEMA gets involved in. They're so good at it. They aim to cause a complete collapse of the world's economy and create political chaos. I mean, we're well on the way to that. They plan to provide full support for supranational organizations like the United Nations, the IMF, the Bank for International Settlements, and the World Court of Justice. They intend to destroy the education system in America. Fucking mission accomplished. You already did that with Common Core. You got kids thinking 3 times 4 is 11, showing their work, getting it partially correct. You have broken the education system in America, my friends. They also seek to depopulate through the weaponization of food, through contaminating food, through the sterilization of men and women through food. They seek to reduce male testosterone through food. And they are very much involved in sterilization through wireless technologies like 5G. They also mention the use of vaccines, geoengineering, war, and disease as a way to depopulate. See any similarities? See anything that we're... That sound familiar? we're like... All of this is happening right now. And these guys have been working on this for a long, long time. Like I said, Committee of 300 has been around for 150 years. They didn't just come up with this idea. They've been working on this for a while. But never did they have the technology to do something like this. So what is their main target? Well, they're interested in something that they like to call surplus population. That's you. You're the surplus population. It's just too many people. They are interested in the slow destruction of industrial nation states. See, in their minds, they want to go back to the serfs and the kings, where the kings lived in the castle and all the serfs worked around them, you know, tilling the fields and growing the food and giving the food over to the king and doing all of that. But they were hampered technologically. They would love for that to happen. They want to de-industrialize the world. For us, they want robots. They want us walking everywhere. And look, I think it's important to understand that this committee of 300 runs the global cocaine business as well, and heroin business, through their partnerships with intelligence agencies like the CIA. I mean, remember, this organization comes out of the British East India Company, which was primarily a opium business. So it is a drug cartel at its core. The idea that they would be involved in running the global cocaine trade should come as no surprise to anybody. It's literally their core business. Everything else that's sprouted out of that, banking and military, that's ancillary business. Their core competency is the drug trade. So of course they're involved in the drug trade. This from John Coleman, again, Conspirators Hierarchy, his book. In the Committee of 300, which has a 150-year history, we have some of the most brilliant intellects assembled to form a completely totalitarian, absolutely controlled new society. Only it isn't new, having drawn most of its ideas from the club of cultus diabolicus. It strives towards a one-world government, rather well described by one of its late members, H.G. Wells, in his work commissioned by the committee, which Wells boldly called the Open Conspiracy, Blueprints for a World Revolution. So, you want to get your hands on the H.G. Wells book called The Open Conspiracy, Blueprints for a World Revolution. I haven't read that yet. I have to check that out. But again, I don't think he and Aldous Huxley were warning the public. I think they were commissioned to write these books by these groups for predictive programming. Aurelio Pesci, he's a Committee of 300 and Club of Rome. He wrote a book called The Chasm Ahead, where he lays out the committee's plan to, quote, tame the common man that he describes as the enemy. You want to know what else that guy, Aurelio Pesci, wrote? What other books he wrote besides The Chasm Ahead? He wrote The Limits to Growth for the Club of Rome. Remember the book that talks about how they're going to use the threat of global warming, whether it's real one or one imagined for these purposes, that it will be the common pretext that they use to rally behind to create a one world government? That's the guy that wrote the book. I mean, you know that term, that term, like he wrote the book on it? This guy wrote the book on it for the Club of Rome. So what industries do the committee, what do they control? Well, we know banking, obviously. They run the drug trade. We've mentioned that. They run the diamond mines. You've got Cecil Rhodes on here. If you remember his Rhodesia diamond mines, they run the gold mines, South Africa. Again, where the British Empire was in the late 1800s, the guys that were running that were deeply involved in the committee. They run insurance companies. They're big in the insurance business. They run the banks. Industries that deal with raw materials, steel, deeply involved in that. They run foreign aid. You know, those institutions that are giving out foreign aid, the IMF, the World Bank, and all that. The committee runs those. So you can make sure that a certain country gets money in aid for doing the things that they're supposed to do, like allowing the World Economic Forum to come in, allowing the World Health Organization to come in and run the COVID scam, unless you're like Mogafili, who says that I'm going to test this fruit for COVID and it turns up positive. It tested positive for COVID. And he's explaining that the whole thing's a scam and then he turns up dead. And then they replace him with somebody that's World Economic Forum tied. That's what I'm talking about. And of course, one of the industries that they control is the new climate change industry. And that's going to be a devious one. You know, that's one that you're going to... you're going to hear a lot more about, because there's a goddamn fortune in climate change. And I think people understand that. I think people that that know that it's a scam, you start asking, well, why would this be a scam? Most scams are scams because there's a lot of money to be made. Good. Yes, you're on the right track. It's not just that. It's about control. It's about, you know, limiting what countries or people can use and things like that. But yes, there's a lot of money in the climate scam. So committee economist Frederick von Hayek, under the guidance of David Rockefeller, proposed that the United States base their economic platform on six things. This is how you destroy America, by the way, which these people want. Number one, urban black markets. Number two, small Hong Kong-type industries utilizing sweatshop labor. This is what they want for America. This is what the committee wants. Number three, tourist trade. Still a beautiful place. We've got to have tourists, you know, come and visit. Number four, free enterprise zones where speculators can operate unhindered and where the drug trade can flourish. Remember, they're in the drug business. Of course, they want the drug trade to flourish. Number five, they want to end all industrial activity. Hard for us to rise up when we can't produce anything. And number six, they want to close down all nuclear energy plants. They don't want energy independence. Not for us, okay? Not that you or I are going to like go crank up a backyard nuclear generator or something like that, but maybe eventually it will get to the point where something like that is possible. So they are very against nuclear energy for whatever reason. I think maybe because it's, I mean, I know it has a bad reputation in some circles, but I think it's probably, if they're against it, I'm probably for it, and I probably need to examine it a little bit more. But considering that they're very much against nuclear energy, it makes me go, let's go examine nuclear energy. what do they hate about it so much? But anyway, so this is what we'll do. We're going to wrap up with a rather long quote from Zbigniew Brzezinski. He is, of course, the father of Minka Brzezinski on MSNBC, who's married to Joe Scarborough, who still can't account for why his intern wound up dead in his office back in 2001. But I'm sure that was all just a gigantic misunderstanding, and I'm sure she just flung her dead body into his office for no good reason at all. His father-in-law, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who, you know, globalist, scumbag, monster extraordinaire, for sure. He also could see where things were going, in part because they're making things go that way. So I think it's important to listen to these guys. You can hate them. You can be rightly, you know, afraid of them and who they are and what their powers are, but don't be dismissive of what they say, because they will tell you what is going to happen, or at least they will tell you what they intend to do to the extent that they are able to do it. And you should be listening to them. So let's do this. Let's read this. This is from Zbigniew Brzezinski's book, The Technocratic Era. And this is like a chilling account of where they are taking things. And this was written like 50 years ago. So keep that in mind, because in this quote, he's saying this is where we're going to get by the end of the century. And he's meaning like 2000, not 2100. So this is from Brzezinski. At the same time, the capacity to assert social and political control over the individual will vastly increase. It will soon be possible to assert almost continuous control over every citizen and to maintain up-to-date files containing even the most personal details about health and personal behavior of every citizen, in addition to the more customary data. These files will be subject to instantaneous retrieval by the authorities. Power will gravitate into the hands of those who control information. Our existing institutions will be supplanted by pre-crisis management institutions, the task of which will be to identify in advance likely social crises and to develop programs to cope with them. He's talking about FEMA. This will encourage tendencies through the next several decades towards a technocratic era, a dictatorship, leaving less room for political procedures. Finally, looking ahead to the end of the century, meaning the 2000, the possibility of biochemical mind control and genetic tinkering with man, including beings which will function like men and reason like them as well, could give rise to some interesting questions. They've got a plan. They've got a plan for all of us. And it's not a good one. If you are interested in connecting with me, you can do so through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions. I've got books available for sale on Amazon, The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire, I wrote with Jeff Berwick. That's a number one bestseller. The Octopus of Global Control, that book came out in 2017. And my newest one, Hypocrisy, Surviving in a World of Cultural Double Standards. You can get some of them on my website. You can get all of them at Amazon. I will talk to you all later.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
SpinQuest Social Casino. The presents are open and you're over the in-laws. It's a perfect time to grab your phone and play SpinQuest.com with live dealer blackjack, craps, and a ton of slots. And here's a great deal for the holiday, a $30 coin pack for $10. And if you're hearing this ad, you can play right now on SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.